All meetings, Tri County Commissioners together. First item is roll call. Karen?
Chairman Bob Bailey.
Here.
Vice Chairman Wayne Wells.
Here.
Commissioner Alan Moore.
Here.
Next invitation, Alan.
You bow with me. Father in heaven, thank you so much for all of our many blessings you have given us. Pray that you would be with us this evening as a commission, that we go about these county issues and be considerate of the people that we serve. Thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Minutes of September 3rd, 2019, regular Cali County Commission meeting. Anybody see anything needs to be different?
I'd move to approve the minutes as presented.
Second motion.
Been moved and second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Minutes of the September 10th work session.
I saw nothing, Mr. Chairman. Move to approve the minutes as presented.
Second.
Been moved and second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Motion passed. Citizens to be heard. Anybody got anything they want to say? Citizens to be heard. Okay, moving on. Items of business. Consider approval of financial statement for fiscal year 2018 from Edward B. Stevenson and Company. Alan or Aaron?
Aaron.
Alan. Aaron.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you guys for giving me the opportunity to meet with you tonight. Before I get too deeply involved, I just want to make sure the three commissioners, you guys should have received this S 114 letter that we send directly to you. Same spelling it as normal. It has not been provided to management. You're more than welcome to share. That is just additional communication that we have to have with those in charge of governance. If anything had been in there that was of a dire need for them to know, they would have probably already known for other reasons. But all that really does is it gets a few of the items that we have to communicate with you out of the way so we don't have to do it here tonight. If you have any questions about it, you know, obviously I can address it as well in addition to what we're getting ready to go over. The area I'd like to start would just be the letters paper clipped on the inside front cover. There'll be two of them. One will be the management letter. It is the one with the bullets, which I'll spend a little more time on it. The other letter is just in regards to internal controls. I don't spend a whole lot of time on that one because the only thing that gets disclosed in there is if we have a material weakness or if our testing leads us to a material weakness in internal control. I can never say there is not one. I can just say our testing didn't lead us to one. So the main letter that I'm going to spend some time on will be that management letter. If you go ahead and look at it, there should be under legal compliance. There weren't any violations in the budget or cash basis laws. The only item that we did run into in the current year were the county deposits were not adequately secured during the year, leaving the county's funds at risk, which is a violation of KSA 9-1402. In the current year, actually what happened, it is a bank that had a CD, and just with the market value adjustment, the amount that they had pledged, it dipped. It wouldn't matter if it was $1 million or $1 short, it's a violation that has to be reported. I know that since then it's been discussed with the individuals that monitor it, and they've been involved with the bank, and I believe steps have been taken to, again, hope it doesn't happen again. But just with the market volatility this last year, we have seen probably two other cases that are similar to this, just based on the market, you know, and that's something that normally it's not that close and it doesn't adjust that much. But that is actually what the shortcoming was from this year. Other matters, again, these are just items of internal control. We've discussed with personnel with the county. When we were testing the jail commissary account, noticed some old outstanding checks from 13 to 17. They need to be turned over to the state of Kansas unclaimed properties. At least that's our interpretation of statute. I know discussion again has been had in regards to that. When we were testing the district court records, two of the checks did actually clear the bank with no signatures. Obviously, I would sit here and say that leads me to think, you know, there was a couple items missed there. Can't imagine, you know, that the bank should have cleared them, but like I said, they did leave the county with no signatures, and they did clear. When we did the third bullet, when we did the testing of payroll, there was one employee this year that what was being withheld from their paychecks did not match the amount elected for the K-4 and the W-4. Again, that has been discussed, and I believe you guys have, or maybe in the process of now having that all done electronically anyway, where employees will have the opportunity to change it themselves, and then it should be at their discretion for actually exclusively. When looking over the authorized check signers list provided by the bank with their confirmation, when we perform our audit, we send out bank confirmations for them to confirm basically that what the entity has, you know, they say that it in essence matches. And we also ask for them to give us the authorized signers. One of them did have an old commissioner on it. I believe the county has already addressed it with, if I remember correctly, that bank at least once. So I'm not really sure if they just sent us one that should have been destroyed or retired. But again, it is something that we want to make sure you guys, as well as management's aware of. Then if you just notice, the next two bullets are just in relation to the other two letters I've already mentioned. And, you know, just closing the letter with, you know, we appreciate the time that all the county employees that we bother, you know, allow us. We know our timing can be cumbersome. We bother Karen quite a bit, Macy, you know, the fee offices, you know, Lucas, and we just appreciate them, you know, working with us, because we know we're a pain. But, you know, that's auditors for you. So then if we just go ahead and jump to the financial statements, or actually I'll just point out the independent auditor's report, page one. It is three pages long. I'm just going to skip over it. There have been no changes. You're still reporting in accordance with the regulatory basis, you know, of accounting. So this is just a standard audit report with nothing identified that needed to be disclosed in the audit report. So then if you jump to the financial statements, which starts on page four, this again, your financial statements in accordance with the Kansas Municipal Accounting and Audit Guide. Statement one is a summary statements of receipts, expenditures, and unencumbered cash. The main column I'll have you look at here will be the third from the right, the ending unencumbered cash balance. Keep in mind, this is the December 31, 2018 position, so this is what the carryover would have been coming into the current year you're operating in. That column, if you just look, general fund, 1.5, road and bridge, 900,000, you know, you can scan on down there, and the total of the total of the county's funds on page five is $11,742,000, with the the outstanding encumbrances accounts payable of $452,000 for the ending cash balance of just over $12 million. You look on page six, and as required is the county's composition of cash, the total cash of the $38 million less the agency funds, which that would be the funds that the county is holding for other agencies, gets backed out. The county's total reporting entity is $12 million. And again, if you wanted to look and see, you know, what funds, if you had any questions about any funds, the detail pages start on schedule two. Those we'll glance out here in a minute. But again, this statement one is the summary, just beginning cash receipts, expenditures, and down to your ending cash. The next item in there starts on page seven. It's the notes. This is the county's notes to the financial statements for the period ending December 31, 2018. The main areas I like to make sure that those in charge of governance take a look at, in your case, would be Roman numeral number two on page 10, stewardship, compliance, and accountability. Again, I've already mentioned this because it was in the management letter. But the only item that we had was the second item there. The county's deposits were not adequately secured during the year, leaving some county funds at risk. Other than that, we had no other statutory violations in the financial testing that we do as part of the audit. If you do go ahead and flip over to page 11, just I'll have you look at the fourth paragraph down where it says at December 31st. The main thing I wanted to show here is that the carrying amount of the deposits, again, the $38 million, the bank said there were $39 million in there. Of that, FDIC coverage was $779,000, and at the end of the year, the entire remaining $38 million was adequately secured. So again, it was just for a short period of time, but one day, $1 is a violation. So at the end of the year, everything was secured and there was no risk based on under-pledged at that time. The next area I'll have you look at would be on page 12, the defined benefit pension plan. This is the required disclosure for CAPRS and KPNF. And actually, the main area I want you to look at is the top sentence on page 13. As you guys, I'm sure, are aware, CAPRS and KPNF for the last few years, there's been major changes for the benefits of the employees. And basically, it's a result because CAPRS and KPNF, they are underfunded. This net pension liability, this whole note basically comes from CAPRS. They have an actuarial done, and we as the county, you guys are required to include in the notes the proportionate share. So based on the December 31, 2008 standing, which would be what was measured as June 30th of 18 by the CAPRS actuarial, the county's proportionate share would be $4,100,000 for CAPRS and just over $2,100,000 for KPNF. Basically, what this whole note is telling you is had CAPRS or KPNF gone under at 12/31/18, this is what the actuarial believes is due to your guys' employees. The way I understand it, current and retired, if you were reporting in accordance with GASB, the Governmental County Standards Board, and not the regulatory basis, this would actually be a liability on your books. So, you know, if you hold up yours or, you know, the majority of the entities in Kansas report, governmental entities report under KMAG, City of Wichita is one that I know does not. So I do not believe they participate in CAPRS though either, but if they have an underfunding, they would show it on there, so that would reduce the outlook when you looked at it financially. Do I think you'll have to pay this? I mean, obviously with the changes they're making, I assume not, but it is a required disclosure that has to be in there. It's similar to what we've been hearing from Social Security for, 10, 15 more years than that probably, you know. But like I said, that's just an item to keep in mind that if had something happened, that would be the share that they say would be due to your employees. Really, that's the last item that I was going to point out in the notes. I was going to then have you flip to page 16, Schedule 1. This is the summary of expenditures, actual and budget, regulatory basis for the budgeted funds only. And the main item I'll have you look at here is the right-hand side. A positive number is that you are over budget, and a negative number is a result of being under budget, and you can tell all your numbers were negatives in the comparison column. Thus, as I stated before, we had no budget violations. Starting on page 17 is Schedule 2, the schedule of receipts and expenditures. This is for each fund. It goes all the way through page 55 for any fund basically that's had activity in the last 2 years or cash carryover. Unless there's any fund you want to take a minute to look at, I was basically just going to skip over the detail pages and have you look at Schedule 3. But again, if there are any funds you want to look at or have any questions on, just let me know at any time and we can definitely do that. Schedule 3 is the schedule of agency funds. It starts on page 56. And earlier when I mentioned that on the composition of cash that we backed out $26 million in agency funds, this is the detail basically of what the is included in your agency funds, the funds the county has on hand, which is not actually county money. As you can see, of the $26 million, $25 million of it is the current taxes. Mostly result of, you know, waiting to be distributed. So if you look at page 57, again, you have the total $26 million, which would tie back to statement one. Page 58 is the reconciliation of the 2017 tax roll regulatory basis. This is an item that they are strongly suggesting and will probably become a requirement, if they haven't already passed it this year, for KMAG reporting on from the counties. Basically just shows that all the tax roll was accounted for through the from the abstract down through the current tax collections and delinquency activity. I know that's a quick run through, and like I said, if you have any questions or want to look at any of the schedules in more detail, just let me know. Or if you have any questions on the letters as well.
Do you have any suggestions on keeping the county's money funded? And any other? That's the third year now, correct?
Well, I want to say 3 out of 4. I think we had 1 year where we didn't, but I'd have to honestly go back and look. The sad thing is, to be honest with you, it's almost, I bet you 75% of my governmental audits the last 2 years I've had underfunded. I have seen one bank that they're, another alternative that I've seen is instead of pledging the securities, they've taken out, it's more like a bond, and then, you know, they're able to pledge that. It's a little, my understanding, it's a little cheaper to the bank, you know, cash flow now. But I mean, in all reality, the problem with that, especially with what you guys ran into this year, when a CD, it's you know, you wouldn't have known the market value until after the fact.
Correct.
You know, I mean, your guys, it's not like it was an account that you put deposits into. I mean, you know, I believe the main bank's currently providing daily, you know, monitoring for that. But again, the problem you have is if the banks aren't willing to do it up front, which I shouldn't say they weren't willing. I mean, the effort was there. It does appear to just be an oversight on their end that was corrected. But I'd like to say that you just shouldn't get close enough that market adjustment means anything. If I have funds deposited and they want my funds, then, you know, make sure they're secure. With that being said, I know it's a, you know, it's a costly, I mean, it ties up their assets, I guess, let's put it that way. So in this current situation, I guess I would say probably not this year, because you wouldn't know until after the fact. You know, you could maybe say, okay, we have a CD here of X amount of dollars. We expect you to provide this much more if you want to keep our CD invested, you know, in your, and I really think they've done that, but I probably shouldn't speak.
You may ask, the treasurer may have some information to share on that as well.
On what happened, or?
Or just kind of.
And you've been diligently keeping track of that.
Well, just like for this instance, you know, an email went out at 4 something in the afternoon and it didn't get taken care of until the next morning. So we're talking hours. So
a couple things that the treasurer has asked me to work with her on was when this happened, and it didn't happen in the 17, it happened in 16. So we did skip the previous year, but in 16's audit, which would have been in 17, we had this issue, and we made some procedural changes to go out for a bid and also share the statutory obligations to the bank every time, so that they know what is required. Because it's not, you know, if I had a personal CD, it's my liability over $250,000. So we've done that. We've made that.
And also that bank has 2 CDs. It just didn't have 1. It had 2 that right. They had to.
In addition to that, we've also worked with an investment company recently to review our investment strategies, and we're currently working on an investment policy for you guys to approve to help perhaps mitigate or guide us in the future on what options we can use to help reduce our liability or concern. With the investment group that worked with us, they looked at some things that Aaron's referring to. Some other options would be CDRS, treasury bonds, some things like that. But one of the things that what we're doing now is keeping those local investments or those investments locally with our banks, which is helping our community versus going and buying treasury bonds and other things outside of our area. So I personally feel, I haven't done the work, but I personally feel that Macy's team has done a very, very good due diligence to do what they can. And even when this was brought to our attention, she was on top of it, got with the people with the bank. So I feel personally that the treasurer's office is doing everything we can. And we're continuing to improve.
Like I said, the occurrence this year, without the bank being willing to, you know, sock additional on it, they wouldn't have known until after the fact, like, you know, just with that, you know, the market change. So I would agree that they, you know, everything they're tracking, you know, they're doing a good job on what they're tracking. Just like I said, that a couple other, you know, I think a couple of years ago, the one Luke is talking about, they, you know, it was a much more sizable amount and
in a longer duration,
for a longer period. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, you then we went a year without, but, you know, like I said, I can see improvements on the controls and with what they've put in place. You know, that I would say this was more of a, I would anticipate more of an isolated incident than a, you know, than an overall shortcoming in the controls. You know, I mean, anytime you have something, I can't, you know, it is a shortcoming in the controls that it didn't get stopped prior to it occurring. But like I said, I would classify this more as an isolated incident, and it wasn't due to not monitoring or not trying to stay on top of it. You know, I do think there was full effort and, you know, everything with everything that they had access to.
I think you're going to see our goal is the policy to be in front of you before the end of the year. That's our goal right now. Just kind of giving you an insight on how that whole program works, because that's I think something that's important for you guys to know.
Mm-hmm. Aaron, his staff, and everybody involved cooperating?
Yeah, we had no issues.
Have any problem?
Mm-hmm. Nope. Yeah. Everything went fairly smooth. I mean, every once in a while we have to wait, but like I said, they can't drop everything they're doing, so we understand that, you know, who's ever here, no matter if it's an auditor or if it's anybody from the outside, you know, that's doing something that's time-consuming, that, you know, we appreciate what time they are able to give us, you know. But, yeah, I would say I noticed we had no issues.
Yeah.
Well,
I got anybody, anything else?
I don't have anything.
I have no questions. Answer all that. Thanks again, Aaron.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Aaron. Move to approve the financial statements presented.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Motion passed. Consider approval of Title 6 non-discrimination agreement update. Lucas?
Chairman, this is something that I was called out from the state. This is a Kansas Department of Transportation non-discrimination agreement, and we fall in the population of 100,000. They did an audit and they came on site, and this is our agreement that you've done it before in the past. The last time you did it was in 2014, and this is an update and a renewal stating that we're not discriminating when we go out for bids for road and bridge, and we're doing the proper protocols and procedures to ensure that our procurement policies are appropriate and not discriminatory.
Any questions?
I would move to approve Title 6 non-discrimination agreement update as presented.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passed. Consider motion to direct staff to complete MOU with the City of Arc City based off work session 9-10 of 19. Lucas.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sure as you guys recall, we had a work session with the City of Arc City last week in Arc City, and I was opening this as an opportunity for you guys to have a discussion and perhaps have an opportunity to make a motion to direct me and or if counselor to complete the work that you want done.
Anybody got any questions or comments?
With the end of the conversation the other evening, aren't we still going to wait on the for the final decision on the deal from...
I don't think we should do anything until we hear from KDOT. That's...
The KDOT?
KDOT's...
Turnip Seed is what I was trying to think of.
Turnip has the final say on that.
I reached out to Fannie and Turnip Seed via the Public Works Department, asked them to give us a time frame or an update. They said it should be to the state by the end of September, so we should get it passed through the state by, they're hoping, first half of October.
So when we should get that report back?
They're saying we should get it in the first couple weeks of October. So they're hoping to have all their stuff turned into KDOT by the end of September.
And it'll take the state, what, 2 weeks, roughly?
I hope.
Or longer?
I hope less, but yeah, that's as good as the time frame they could give me.
That's
and I'm good, pulling up the
good
email.
As we could do. Can't get it quicker.
No, because it has to be approved through KDOT. Since technically KDOT ordered it, right? We're following under their compliancy, so it's contracted through KDOT, turned in back to the KDOT contract, and then we get the data disseminated. So 1st of October is our go hope for getting that data.
We concur with Mr. Wayne on waiting until we see turnip seed.
Okay. But in the meantime,
Chairman,
yes.
It might not be a bad idea if Lucas and I maybe went ahead and got started on something contingent upon the decision y'all make. But I don't think that MOU is going to be drawn up in an afternoon.
No, I think it's going to take a little bit. I do have the project scope, and I just got that in email. At 5:15, so based off the project scope, I'll have to work with the counselor to make sure the MOU is compliant with the project scope.
And we got to work with the city attorney and mm-hmm. commission down south. And if it's okay, I think we ought to get started on that contingent upon your approval later. But,
well, that's what I thought too. I mean, we could go ahead and make a motion to direct the county council and administrator to create the MOU, work with the city and everything, contingent upon what we see later.
So the expectation would be the MOU would come back for you guys as approval, then that approval mm-hmm. would be us initiating that agreement. Is that not?
I'm not sure that we even need to have them direct us to do it. Maybe just you and I try to find some time to work on it.
Okay.
They're aware of what we're doing. I didn't hear any threats of being fired.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
I'm fine with that, Mr. King. Chairman.
Yep.
So we don't need a motion to do that at all.
I don't believe so. If you guys are okay with it.
I mean, we're just going to try to kind of rough something up. But
get started.
Get something.
Yeah.
Question. More for information, but I was under the understanding that's exactly what would happen. We'd get an agreement sent to us. We also have to act on this agreement. Mm-hmm. So if you form the agreement, send it to us to sign and so on, and by then have the DOT or whoever. Okay, I think the timing's going to work perfect if you start cheering and then send it to us. It's going to be subject to that approval is what I'm hearing.
I might to challenge the premise of what you say, Jim, only in respect of I'm going to expect more out of them than them to just receive it. When I say them,
I think you'll find we're looking forward to working with the county.
Yeah,
I'm not speaking for the entire
No, I get it.
I came up here, volunteered to come up and carry back the message of what you guys decided.
Okay, well,
that's the only reason for me.
I'm just counting on Mick and your city attorney being actively involved, and I think putting this MOU together.
Yeah, I think they'll find, you'll find there'll be 100%.
I'm looking for help.
Well, I'll help you look for help. We'll offer those two to start with.
Counselor, I just sent you the email of the project scope.
Thanks.
So, just clarity on what the project scope is. The superintendent, myself, met with MKC this morning at the location so that they can scope it out, because project scope is going to be including draft design so that we can get whatever permits we have to get to please the powers that be, right? So, that's in a not to exceed of 16.5, just so you know. $16,500.
Any other questions?
Are we still looking to build this project jointly using our own people, or are you now going out for it?
The proposal was to use the county employees. John Jordan, our superintendent, has the staffing and the skill set and the equipment. So.
And
materials for the most part. Now, I don't think we're going to turn away. I think we've got some connections that we can probably get some other materials so we don't vacate our yards, but I do not think he'll be contracted out. As a matter of fact, I know we will not be contracted out.
No sense contracting that when we do.
No, that's why I was trying to figure out what you want to say.
Okay. I guess we're done on that. No motion, so. You guys continue your good work. Okay.
The learning process.
Yeah. Number four, approval of claims for a period of September 17-19 for checks numbered 181376 through 181414, totaling $285,560.26. Wires totaling $315,049.34, and direct deposits totaling $290,389.21. And checks numbered 812712 through 812744 and 701817 totaling $61,554.63.
Move to approve the payment register as presented.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passed. Abatement report.
There's no abatement.
I didn't hear him
send an email, so
no,
there wasn't
one.
No. Nope. Sense of doing that. Other items come before the Board of County, Cali County. Karen?
Lucas, I don't have the audit. Never mind. Okay. Well, I'll
real quick, couple updates. We do have Conco on site doing our flood restoration in the South Annex.
Yeehaw.
That is on a 3-week time schedule at the longest. At this point, emergency management is working out of part of our office down here. So they're kind of partnering in our department. I'm sure they like that. In addition to that, they started today on wiring for controls in this facility. So there'll be a little bit of dust, dirt, noise, sounds. I don't know if anybody in the South Annex heard anything today, but so if you hear folks that call you and say, hey, I went through there and that place is a dirty mess, at least you know what we're doing. We're trying to keep it clean and controlled, but there will be, you know, folks in especially this hallway, these hallways, corridors. We're going to try to be respectful to the courts, obviously. But outside of that, that's all I was going to share.
Thank you. Anybody got anything else? No? I do not. No? Move to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
counselor.
Yeah.